Yesterday, we heard from Dave Buzek and Carol Hunter about how these newspapers that, this is what we do, are evaporating, you know, right before our eyes. And the fear, I think we all have, that the mainstream media, what's going to happen? What are we going to have to read? How is this going to work? Josh is going to go first, but Kathy Obradovich, is part of States Newsroom. Their organization provides content like content used to be locally. Shoe leather reporting about nursing homes, local stories, hyper-local information. Like my favorite thing with States Newsroom is they do restaurant, dirty restaurant things. They do the reports on who has bugs. And that's important because that's where we eat. So anyway, even though the very thing that we feel is our lifeblood, these mainstream newspapers we've been doing for 40 years, even though they're changing drastically, something is rising in their place. And it's something good, in some cases, something better. So I think, Josh, you're going to go first.
Okay.
Josh Wise, Public News Service. You didn't even know this existed before today, except for Colorado, which hooked me up. So for the next amount of time, I think you guys are going to get some resources that you're really going to appreciate, content that you can pass on to your listeners. So here's Josh.
Well, thank you, Mary Frances. Hi, I'm Josh Wise, Managing Director at Public News Service. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, so I had a nice 40-minute flight down here. But Public News Service is headquartered in Boulder, Colorado. Though we're spread around the country, I'll give you a little bit of the history of Public News Service and why we exist, and then I will walk you through what our stuff looks like. You know, Public News Service was founded by Larry Corbet in 1996 in Boise, Idaho. Idaho was maybe a leading indicator for the rest of the country in the mid-90s in that it was already pretty much a news desert outside of Boise. You know, for those of you who have dove into the news desert phenomena, you can, you know, the University of North Carolina, maybe you all know this already, University of North Carolina has a map where you can see all of the counties in the United States that either have one or no local newspapers. And so in Idaho in the 90s, there were already quite a few of those places. And so, you know, we were really starting to answer the question, well, how do you continue to get public interest content out to these places who just have a lack of access to information? And of course, what they did have was radio, but often that radio was commercial radio, community radio run by volunteers, and the ability to produce local news was pretty limited, and if they could produce local news, it was hyper-local news, what's going on in my community, and not necessarily what's going on at the state capitol. So our founder, Lark, went to the local organizations, the nonprofits in the community. This was before philanthropy supported the news, and said, hey, would you fund me on a small scale to be reporting on the environment, to be reporting on consumer issues, to be reporting on X, Y, and Z? It was just general state house coverage. You know, you can't control the content. We're a news organization, but if we don't do this, then nobody else is going to do it. So we started it in Idaho, and it worked. And so we've grown state by state over the last 26 years to now where we have state news bureaus in 37 states around the country and three national newscasts. We should be launching in Georgia and Alabama next week. So that's the history of Public News Service. I'm going to pull up my computer here, hopefully this, and I just wanted to show you all what the content looks like. I'm also going to do something that's really old school. You know, if you have a device, you can sign up to get our content. But I'm also going to pass around physical sign-up sheets. So if you like what we're seeing here and you want us to sign you up to get our content, you can do that here. So I'll send a couple in each direction. You don't have to sign up. You can decide if you like it before putting your name down. But this is our homepage, publicnewsservice.org, and you can see, you know, it's sort of an amalgam of what we have going on around the country. We do three national newscasts. One is just a daily 6-minute with a 3-minute sign-off. We do a 3-minute democracy-focused politics newscast, and then we do a weekly newscast that is focused on rural areas. And then, of course, you know, all of our stories are up here. If you click on a story, you can see we put the sound up here, and then we put the full print file up here. But all of our content is free to republish here. We put the, all of our, all we ask is that you credit us when you're using the content. Happy to have people read it over the air. But, the truth is our website, our web presence is less than 1% of where public news service content is seen or heard. We're a newswire like AP or Reuters, so for the most part we're relying on other stations to be taking our stories and airing them themselves or reading them, as you'll see in a sec. But when you sign up to get our content, you do it by state, so I just pulled up Iowa since we're in Iowa. And we'll assign you a unique code here, so you can go onto our backend and download our content. If you're signed up, this is what you'll see in your email. This is our broadcast script. We do all of our stories timed to be about 2 minutes long with 30 second to 45 second first cut. I think it's less applicable here, but the idea is that if I'm a commercial music station and I'm playing 54 minutes of country music every hour, the public news service story is something I can easily slip into top or bottom of the hour newscast. If I'm a news station, I can air the whole thing, and then, as I'll show you in a minute, if I'm really starved for content, I have access to 15 to 20 stories a day from around the country that I can go on and download. We also, again, maybe it's not as applicable here, but we put the contact information for our sources down at the bottom, so any outlet that wants to do a longer version or a follow-up story based on what we send out has the ability to do so. Sometimes we'll end up being the upstream story for future reporting, just because often the topics that we're talking about are not the, when you get into public interest and public policy conversations, it gets into the weeds really quickly, and often that's a barrier to reporters doing the story in the first place, as it's a little scary to talk about. So hopefully when the public news service story comes out, it's not just the outlets being able to air the content, but that, reporters seeing it will have sort of a glorified tip sheet to go do their own follow-up stories on the content. So you get your unique code, and where you go is newsservice.org. This is my staff password here, but if I were an outlet, I would just put in IN. 101 is our dummy code, so INS dash whatever your code is. And then this is what it looks like. So you see we've got the newscasts up here to download and wave our MP3. You can look up past newscasts. But then down here we have all the stories for Iowa. So let's see, what do I want to do first? If you click on this link, and this is true for any state you log into, you can see what we've done everywhere around the country. So instead of, so you can see on any given day, we're putting out between 15 and 20 stories. So like I said, the different formats, we'll put the short wrap up here, we'll put the long wrap up here. We also pull out the quote files individually, so if you are ambitious and you want to do a ribbon read and insert our quoted sources, you can just pretend like it's your content. We always love to get the credit. But really, the way we've been set up is we want to be a resource for outlets first and foremost. Here's what the sound, story sounds like.
Tim is in full swing, and for those with disabilities transitioning to adulthood, traditional barriers still exist in secure
employment.
Advocates in Iowa say entrepreneurship serves as a good solution,
etc. So, all of our folks primarily come out of radio. That's In Iowa. Mike Mullen is our producer, used to work for Minnesota Public Radio. So the audio quality, if you want to hear the sound, all by itself, just the files, it should be high enough quality for anybody's system. I mean, that's our goal. We're always working on getting our sound quality better. All of our folks are remote around the country. We don't do any recording in the studio. But then from that same site, you can pull out just a quote file.
Coffee shop, or they like to bake, and so, they're doing a small bakery.
So if you're doing...
For example, the folks run their own coffee shop, or they like to bake, and so, you know, doing a small bakery.
So if you're doing a rip and read, you know, you can just pull that up and put it in where you need it. And then we have the print version, the newspaper version, so you can just copy and paste this. You know, if it's going up onto a website or into a print paper, you can, or if you're reading the story, you know, just reading it as yourself, you can read the print version, and then you can also read the broadcast version, however you want to do that. You know, and so you can see the timings here for the short wrap, for the, So we do the first cut, we do the second cut, and then there's the tag at the end, and you can air the wraps, or you know, read the wraps or not read the wraps. But we also have the timing for how long the quotes are here as well. So we're trying to give, you know, folks who are working in radio everything they need, all the different elements that they need to be airing the content, and however it works best for their formats. I would say we have somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour of, you know, between all the stories we put out around the country of recorded content every day. And of course, you know, if you want to extend that, you can just read it really slowly.
How'd you know our trick?
Yeah, so like I said, you know, we're in 37 states. Our hope is we're going to be launching the two new states. Our hope is to be sending out our newscast in all 50 states, again, by the end of the month. And then as we put out the newscast and get more familiar with the stations, we'll likely be attaching individual stories to those blasts that are going out to the outlets. As we have the funding and capacity to be producing more local content. So that's Public News Service in a nutshell.
Awesome.
Should I ask for questions, or do you want to do that at the end? Okay.
Whatever you like.
All right, let's go here, blue shirt.
You know what, I'm gonna grab a microphone.
Okay.
How cool is this, you guys?
Are you in Mississippi yet, and where did, I gather this is for driven primarily toward broadcast stations or radio stations, whatever. And where does your funding come from if it's available at no cost?
Yeah, sure.
Where do your funds come from?
Right. We're not in Mississippi yet, but we've been getting pressure to be there. So we're launching in Georgia and Alabama, like I said, this month. It's likely that we will go to Mississippi next. So in a perfect world, that would be by the end of the year. You know, I will say, and I don't know if you all find this, a big part of our challenge is finding experienced broadcast reporters who can do short beat reporting, because it's kind of becoming a lost art in the radio industry. There's a lot more tendency in J schools for audio producers to move towards that NPR, more investigative style. But as far as where we get our funding, so we've always worked on this fund-to-beat model. So we're funded by probably 500 different organizations around the country right now who are supporting, at a minimum, 8 stories on any given beat. So whether it's, you know, a local Sierra Club chapter supporting environmental coverage, or it's a, you know, United Healthcare supporting health coverage, or, you know, it's all on that sponsorship model. You know, like I said, Public News Service was started before foundations and philanthropy really got behind supporting the news. And so, you know, we started this kind of on a micro scale, and we were really one of the first organizations out there. You know, obviously National Public Radio, et cetera, there's nonprofit news has been around for a long time, but we started this model, and what we've seen is that the field and the industry has moved a lot more towards us recently in terms of where they're getting their funding from. Yeah.
I have two questions. This is George from the Audio Reading Service in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Are you in Indiana?
We are in Indiana.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad. Do you have content that's evergreen?
You know, we're always trying to answer a question for a news director, why is this relevant today? You know, that said, I would say, you know, our content is definitely relevant throughout the week. What we find is that you know, we try to front load our weeks, so we'll do a lot more stories on Monday than on a Friday. And we'll find that stations will use those Monday stories throughout the week. And often, you know, we'll see, oh, the story didn't do well all week, but then the next Monday it was great because there's a hole in the weekend that they needed to fill. So, yeah, I would say there's generally, we're not doing breaking news, right? There's a fire happening right now. It's generally because it's public interest, public policy focused. You know, we'll try to have a hook that's, you know, relevant to what's going on that day, but generally we're talking about a bigger topic.
I don't really have a question, but we do use all three, the national newscast, the 2022 Talks, which I hope is sticking around because it's a great program, and the Colorado News Connection from Eric Galatis. I'm not sure if I have a question though, but I had no idea you guys have the printed versions that you could just rip and read, but I will say the audio quality from you guys is like as good as it gets, and so I'm very thankful to have you guys around.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. I'll just talk about 2022 Talks. We actually started that as a three-month project in Iowa out of KHOI because there were all these presidential candidates coming to Iowa in 2020, and the demand for that newscast was so high that it started as 2020 Talks, and then it was 2021 Talks, and now it's 2022 Talks, and we've been trying to think of a better name for it, but it'll probably just be 2023 Talks next year. I'm happy to turn it over to Kathy.
How cool is this? Is this cool?
It's moderately cool.
It's very cool. And then I get to introduce Kathy because when Jimmo fell on his sword, remember my board that was chair that wouldn't go away, and Jimmo fell on his sword and said, "I'll be your stupid chair." And just to make sure the other person would go away. And I had no idea when I was getting Jimmo, I was getting this fantastic professional journalist. I look up and my friend is on MSNBC. I hear my friend has been, were you banned from covering Donald Trump?
It's a long story.
Not exactly, the story. Okay. I look up, but of course it's Iowa and the caucuses and everything, and Kathy's on just about every TV I have. And also, remember when I told you the story of Helen Blunt, and she really liked that clever, clever girl, Obadoba, or whatever her name is. Well, Obadoba is here, and she's giving her time to us today, and she's going to tell you about State's Newsroom.
All right. Very good. So, if Josh hadn't gone first, I would have just started with two words, free content. but, you know, today's all about free content, right? I should add the qualifier, which is quality free content. And so let me tell you a little bit of a story about how I got to this point. I spent about 30 to 35 years covering the State House and government in Iowa, all for newspapers. Spent 16 years at the Lee Enterprises newspapers, which is five dying papers in Iowa. And then spent the next 16 years at Gannett, which is the Des Moines Register here, and also very difficult situation, shrinking newspapers. I got out under my own terms, and decided to try nonprofit news for two reasons. One, I needed something that I thought would help. I wanted to try to help the situation, not just compete with, you know, my old boss, but to provide an opportunity for them to focus on what they do well, which is cover their local communities. And then provide a service that is dying out across the country, which is State House coverage. So State's Newsroom is our national nonprofit. And if you want to just scroll, Mary Frances.
I'm scrolling.
So our headquarters is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They started 4 years ago. So Iowa Capital Dispatch is only 2 years old. The network started 4 years ago. These were the first states: Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. North Carolina and Maryland existed before States Newsroom, and they continue to have their own kind of style. So those are the first states. You want to scroll again?
Good job on the audio description.
This is the second set of states, by the way. We're looking at a map of the U.S. With blue states lined out where States Newsroom exists. So we added 15 more in the next 2.5 years. That is Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, Oregon, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. And this is only as of April. So since April, we have launched the Alaska Beacon. So we are now in 27 states. The next two states will be Indiana. Woohoo! And Arkansas. So we have editors hired in those states. They will be launching. Indiana will be first, and then Arkansas. They launch them just as fast as they can get staff hired. So the plan, if you keep scrolling, okay, so this is already out of date, but we have 27 outlets currently reporting. We have 13 more now launching in the next 3 years. So the plan is that by mid-2024, we will be in, I think, 45 states. In addition to that, we also have partnerships with other not-for-profit news organizations. So there are some states where I don't expect that we will ever be. Texas was one of them, because the Texas Tribune is our partner, and they do a fantastic job down there. So, and I will tell you where you can find their content on our site. But 135 full-time staff members in the network, that contrasts with the newspaper industry, which has about 50% fewer people than they did in 2008. So over 100 awards won in 2021. 2,200 reprints in February of 2022 alone. So these are outlets that pick up our content. A lot of them are newspapers, but we also have radio, television stations that pick up our content. And then page views in February 22 alone was 5.16 million. So that's kind of a look at our reach if you want to scroll. Reprints are really important, and it's part of why I say that we're here to help community journalism. A lot of small-town papers that could never afford to have state house coverage pick up our content in Iowa, and even big papers that have their own state house content actually supplement it with us. So, I mean, we get about 3 stories a week into the Des Moines Register, my former employer, and for the first year, they never picked up a State House story. I think it was sort of a point of pride. State House coverage just started to creep into what they pick up from us. You know, why repeat a story that we scooped them on? So we've been called AP for free. State's Newsroom stories republished by outlets nationwide. They actually launched this as a branded program called Capital Connections, which I don't know where it's branded because we never use it, but it's out there as a brand. Small rural papers with no access to state government coverage in our content use it an average of about 1,600 times a month. And then, like I said, the flagship papers like the Des Moines Register and Kansas City Star use our Missouri content out of the Missouri Independent, you know, roughly about 3 times a week. So you can scroll. I'm not going to read this list, but you know, there are some small town papers that are listed here that are representative reprints, and then a little picture of a headline that the Durango Herald picked up out of our Colorado Newsline outlet. Go ahead. And there's Iowa Capital Dispatch. Funny story. When we launched, the only pushback we got was people wanted to argue about whether it should be capital with an O-L or an A-L.
Right, right.
Because we use a picture of the beautiful capital O-L building, but we cover the capital A-L, not just the building. So anyway, go ahead. So one of the papers that use us is the Olwine, Iowa paper in Fayette County. And this is like, you're seeing a map. With the star making it look like Olwine is a much bigger city than it really is. Go ahead. And then the Olwine Daily Register. So in a recent edition, here's the stories that they had. They had their 65th high school reunion. They had the Wapsie Valley High alums make the University of Iowa marching band. Local churches band together to offer school supplies to low-income families. And then they used the column from Iowa Capital Dispatch, which happened to be written by me, which was headlined, Reynolds Administration Least Transparent in 30 Years. So, a paper like this wouldn't have their own political columnist. So this is something that they can pick up from us. And just an aside to the transparency issue, Iowa Capital Dispatch, because of our staff and our staff interests, have tried to be something of a champion of public records. We go to the mat for public records, and we are currently suing the governor of Iowa for violating Iowa's open meetings and records law. It's records, not meetings, but the records. So again, this is something that small town papers who might be stymied by the fact that they're being stonewalled by the state government because they want records, they don't necessarily have the wherewithal to do. Because of our connections, we are, you know, former colleagues of the Iowa Freedom of Information Council executive director, and we work directly a lot with ACLU, and so we just all banded together and decided to try to make this better for everyone by suing the governor. So far, so good. The court's still pending, but the governor's tried to have it thrown out a couple times and it hasn't succeeded yet. So, more about reprints. So the Ohio Capital Journal, which is not the same state as Iowa, but you know, they have combined circulation reprints in a typical week of about a million. So, you know, that's just an example of the kind of reach that we can get. Go ahead. And then we also are really proud about the stories that we break. And we break national stories. These stories end up being mentioned by the big boys and girls at the Washington Post and the New York Times. One of these stories that's on the screen that I'm particularly proud of made international news, broken by Iowa Capital Dispatch, and it was a story about how during the pandemic, the supervisors at one of the meatpacking plants in Waterloo, Iowa, were taking bets among themselves about how many of their workers would get COVID. And so, yeah, I mean... And it turned out that the company ended up firing a bunch of those supervisors. It turned out that was not just a claim in a lawsuit, but an actual fact that the company had to respond to. And so we were quoted in the New York Times, the Washington Post, newspapers all over the country. And that happens a lot. State's newsroom is cited by the New York Times or the Washington Post at least once a week, so one of our outlets. So, it's hard to be a startup. It's a lot harder to be a credible, respected startup, and we feel like we're getting there. So, and then, these are more examples of national news citations. This one's the Ohio Capital Journal being reported by the New Yorker, a Ronan Farrow piece in the New Yorker. So I don't know why they only picked Iowa and Ohio to give you examples, but anyway, we can go.
They sound the same.
Yes. Awards. So in 2021, 111 awards across the network, 275 total. Iowa, we were, we were a finalist for a national, what was the name of the award? We were finalists for a national award for public, for our First Amendment coverage. And our deputy editor received a state award for being a champion of the First Amendment. Here in Iowa, we kind of have a dearth of contests, state contests that we can apply to, but we're working hard to get into the Iowa Newspaper Association so we can start winning their contests.
We should be in that too.
Yeah. Some of our reporters have been named Journalists of the Year in their states, which again is kind of amazing because we've had to fight to be credentialed at state houses around the country. So, go ahead. So here's just an example of what judges said about Sarah Vogelsong from the Virginia Mercury. The five-part series represents a prodigious amount of work by a dedicated, talented solo reporter whose work benefits both the Virginia Mercury's readers and the legislators, leading them to a cleaner, healthier tomorrow. So that was an education or an energy piece. So, okay, so news from the states. So if you didn't hear your state name, and when I was reading that long list, here's another way you can access state's newsroom news. You go to newsfromthestates.com. They aggregate all of the stories that are published by all of the outlets, plus now seven nonprofit partners. So I mentioned the Texas Tribune. We have partners in Connecticut, Honolulu, Vermont. I'm not going to be able to name all seven states. I think Alabama, I don't know. No, Mississippi was one of them. So those stories are all curated and all in one place. So if you're looking, for example, if you're in Iowa looking for content, and you're like, okay, I've read all of iowacapitaldispatch.com, I kind of want to see what's happening in Nebraska. You can either go straight to the Nebraska Examiner, or you can come here and kind of click around and look and see what's happening in the Midwest that you can pick up. So here's, again, an outdated map that doesn't include Arkansas, and that's the end, I think. So if you want to start using state's newsroom content, we're sharing similar to what Josh told you. If you go to the About page of your local outlet, you can find the editor's email. Just shoot them a note, tell them you're going to start using the content, and you can just start using it. They might have some separate guidelines. With newspapers, we tell them, you know, if you shoot us a note when you use a story, then we'll make sure to let you know if the story updates. But you know, if you're just reading it on the air, you don't necessarily need all of that. And I think I'm going to just pause there and see what questions you have.
I'll get a microphone. I lost the microphone. I had it right by me the whole time.
I don't have a question, but I just want to say this is fantastic because our Fort Wayne Journal Gazette had two government reporting people. One was one of our volunteers who retired, and then there was another woman who also left. And we have no reporters covering state news now, but the owners of the newspaper just bought out another newspaper. I mean, they have money to do that, but not to hire state reporters. So this is fantastic.
This is the story all around the country, and there are concerns for existing outlets as well. But so Indiana, I can't tell you the name yet because I don't know it. They usually don't announce the name until right before they launch. And I'll just give you a secret of why that is. They don't really want parody sites to pop up before they can get up. They have to buy, you know, one of the things when we name our outlets, we have to go searching for names that we can actually buy the domain name, those kinds of things. So, but if you watch, are you on social media?
Yes.
So if you watch State's Newsroom, just at State's Newsroom, they will tweet when they launch. First they'll tweet the name because there will be a little soft launch. And then they will tweet when they're fully up. So watch for that. You know, even some existing outlets find that we fill a niche for them. So just in the last 2 weeks, I got a note from a public radio station manager who had picked up a story that we had written about a lawsuit against the community college where they are located and which hold their license. And I mean, it was pretty shocking allegations that this community college was actually engaged in human trafficking. They were recruiting students in South America, bringing them up here, and telling them that they're gonna have relevant employment to their field of study. And instead, they're just put into work in the meatpacking plant across the river. And so that lawsuit, she said, you know, the news director said, it would have been really awkward for us to report this story, but our credibility demands that we publish it. So we gave them that opportunity to have that story without necessarily having to, you know, ask awkward questions of their bosses. This week, we published a story about Iowa Public Radio, which picks up our content. They are, a regular NPR station. The state legislature defunded them in the last session, cut them off with nothing, zip. They were getting about $360,000 a year from the state. Now they're at zero. So we wrote a story about, well, how are you gonna manage with that? And instead of reporting our own story about that, which I'm sure that they will tell, you know, when they're fundraising, I'm sure that they will be telling that story themselves, but they picked up our story for their website. So, and, you know, that just gives us an opportunity to be there in a way that we didn't expect.
I noticed that when I read it.
I get it. Yeah. I was very surprised when they picked that up.
Perhaps they didn't have the money to pay a reporter to cover themselves.
Well, they've got an excellent state house reporter, but I don't know if they told them not to report, you know, told her not to report it or by that.
Sometimes a third party story about yourself is better than initially, at least, than more credible than you telling the story.
Right. I mean, they might see, somebody, you know, if they report on themselves, you know, people are looking for the spin, maybe. So, yes.
I'm from Columbus, Ohio, Voice Corps Reading Service. My name is Amy, and that Ohio Capital Journal. How important is it that I notify the editor we're about to start using it?
So, the only reason I would do that is so that they can tell you if they have any guidelines to follow. Typically, I mean, we just want, you know, credit for the work. You know, if you read it on the air, please read the reporter's name. Say it's from Iowa Capital Journal, and you know, maybe at the end of the story, you could say you can find more from, you know, at iowacapitaljournal.com. But yep, it would be good to, if you chat with, I think it's David DeWitt, if you just go to iowacapitaljournal.com, click on the About section, he'll be right there with his little picture and a little envelope, so you can just shoot him an email and say,
sure, okay,
we're about to pick this up, is there any, you know, anything I need to know? And they... we just like to know who's using our content. That kind of, that, use is probably not going to show up in the weekly reports. We have a republication because you're not putting it on the web, you're not printing it. And so it just gives us an opportunity to say, hey, you know, this is another way that we're reaching out.
Kathy, can I just add something real quick? The other reason to let us know whether this is public news service or anywhere is that, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to get you the correct version of the story if we need to correct it. You know, we don't issue a ton of corrections, thankfully. I think our folks are pretty good. But it does happen from time to time. And so if you're for public news service specifically, if you're signed up to be getting the content, we know that you've got it. We know that you're going to get the correct version of the story if we issue the correction. Whereas if you aren't telling us that you're using it, if you're copying and pasting or whatever, we're not going to know to, you know. And I assume y'all don't want to be airing the correct information. So, you know, so we just want to make sure we can get that information to y'all.
We just had a situation in the past couple of weeks where a lawyer sent cease and desist letters out to us and to everybody who picked up a certain story. And the story was accurate. There was no correction to be written. But had I known that these outlets were reusing the story, I could have saved them many heart attacks by getting back to them and saying, first of all, we're aware of this. Second of all, we stand by the story. You're not going to get sued. And third, because they have now responded to the allegations in this lawsuit, which they refused to do when we called them the first time, we're going to write a follow-up story. So, some of that information for people who share our content is useful to have. So,
for the states you cover, do you have like an average number of articles you do each week? I'm just thinking for the future, if you ever get into Kentucky, is it something we'd be able to do like a weekly half-hour or hour-long program on?
Depends on how fast you read. Kentucky, by the way, is on the list for this year, is my understanding. We try in Iowa, we've got, it's me and three reporters, and then we pick up content from our DC bureau, and we also pick up content from other outlets, and sometimes other nonprofit news. So there's an Investigate Midwest. I'm just going to pick up a story this weekend from them. There's a couple of other nonprofits that we pick up. So during a week, five stories would be the absolute minimum for us. Some outlets might have more or less, depending on their staffing levels and what's going on. Whether you can do an hour with that, I'm not sure.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Did you say five stories a day?
A day.
Yeah.
A day minimum. So, so that's 25 stories during the week. And then on the weekends, we typically have two or three on Saturday and Sunday.
We read you. You know that. Signing up is a simple process. And the way I look at it is you consider us a full partner in what you do. Which I think is you guys are basically the Jedi of going back and protecting humans from, safe house stuff. But we had an email conversation, and now you know who to contact if something's funky. So to me, it wasn't like a sign-up thing or anything like that. It was just like establishing a connection so that we are connected. We began with you. Oh, boy, we were in lockdown. And we got an hour's worth a week. I mean, we got an hour's worth of airtime out of a week's worth. Plus, we were picking a little from surrounding states' newsrooms. Now, we're getting ready to update our program schedule because the content has increased. We'll probably do Capital Dispatch twice a week with fresh content for an hour each time. So just giving you an example of where we started and where we are now with Capital Dispatch, we have more than enough to fill an hour of meeting, we'll probably be able to fill two without a problem.
Okay. Thank you for answering that, because I honestly didn't know. So.
Okay.
Kathy in the back. I hear you spell your name the same way I do.
Where is Illinois on your list?
So Illinois may not make the list. We do we do have, they are one of the states where they have good, another good not-for-profit partner. And so you will probably see Illinois content on the news from the states.com. But my guess is that if we have an outlet there, eventually it will be way down the list. So sort of like, I don't think we'll ever be in Texas. I don't think we'll ever be in California. But there are really good existing not-for-profit news agencies in those states, yes.
So I saw Virginia, I'm sorry, I'm Yvonne from Virginia.
Hi.
Hi. I saw Virginia Mercury.
Yes.
This is really interesting to me for a couple of reasons. For one thing, I went down to the General Assembly with our lobbyist. I was supposed to just be there for information. I hope I maintain my ground. But we did go to, down there several times for budgetary things. But also, as our local content dwindles, I would love to add, your news. But I'm not sure if I understand. So if the Virginia Mercury is reporting your news.
The Virginia Mercury, so all of our outlets are editorially independent. So they are reporting Virginia news, but we collaborate and share. So if there's a really interesting story out of Virginia, I might pick it up on my site. We sometimes work with our DC Bureau to help cover USDA because we've got an ag rider. So you might find Iowa Capital Dispatch on the Virginia Mercury site on something that we've covered of general interest. So we just covered, for example, Tom Vilsack, who's the Secretary of Agriculture. He was making a big announcement in Georgetown. DC Bureau couldn't get somebody over there, but he's our former governor, and we know him, and we have an ag reporter, so we covered it, and Virginia might very well have picked up that story.
So if we want to add it to our broadcast at Virginia Voice, we would go to Virginia Mercury's website about Editor A.
Yep.
About
it's that simple.
Okay. Right.
So the other thing I haven't mentioned is our free newsletter. So, if you don't want to keep going back to the site, five times a day to see what's been published, all of our outlets have a free newsletter. You can sign up on their website. You get it every morning. Some of them come out on different schedules, but ours comes out at 7 in the morning and tells you everything that's on the site, as of 7 in the morning. So, some outlets also have RSS feeds, and you can just sign up for an RSS feed and get an email every time a new story posts if you want to, keep it that up to the minute. But, pardon me? So if you go to any of the state's newsroom or News from the States, they have their own newsletter, and just look for subscribe. And that subscribe tab, you'll be able to fill in your name and email, and that's it, you're signed up.
Kathy, can I plug our newsletter?
Of course.
All right.
I should have plugged our own newsletter. So obviously we love folks to sign up as media outlets for public news service. You can also sign up as an individual. And when you do that, you can select the states that you want to get stories from. So if it's easier for you all to do that, say you're in Virginia, you want to get the Virginia news, but you also want the North Carolina news and the West Virginia news, we kind of set up custom RSS so you can do that as well. From Public News Service. And we also do it by issue. So if, say, maybe you don't want to get our salmon recovery news because you're in Virginia and not Idaho, you can select the issues you want as well.
We have set up a custom topic RSS feeds for certain media users. So Successful Farming, which is a national farm publication, for example, just wanted to get Ag and Environment on an RSS feed from all of our outlets. And so we were able to help them set one of those up.
So we can subscribe to that to get the farming newsletter or a specific topic.
So we don't really have a topical farming newsletter, but we can, if you're interested in that, we can help you find it.
Okay. So I had a
another question, just because this is kind of making my...
Who are you, where are you from?
Oh, I'm sorry. Lauren Kessinger from Audio Reader in Kansas, the Kansas Reflector.
I love that you know that.
We use it a little bit. A lot of the reporters that have been at the regular newspapers are now reporting for the Reflector. So we see a lot of names that we've been seeing for years. And related to that, I'm trying to get my brain around this. So you don't publish doing every day at 6 o'clock, everything. So you are constantly adding stories, both of you, right, to your web pages throughout the course of the day. You said you post them on the weekend. So it's not like if we check it, at noon, we're going to get all the stories for the day that it's in.
That's right. So not all outlets do this. So there are some outlets that might post, sort of on a permanent media schedule where they'll just post everything for the day at, 2 a.m. And so it's up fresh in the morning. We sort of embrace the online news ethic where when a story's ready to go, we're going to publish it. So we just prefer, and it's not like Josh said, we're not covering fires, we're not covering the breaking news kind of things. But I feel like if you come to our site in the morning, I kind of want you to see something different than if you came in the middle of the afternoon.
Correct. I'll just say our publishing schedule. So we try to have we file all of our stories by 9 p.m. Eastern time, the day before, and then our newscasts are generally up by midnight. So I don't know how many of you are using a spider or something to get automatic content automatically, like a lot of radio stations do. You can do that for our newscasts to have it automatically in your inbox before you wake up in the morning.
One of the things about our switch to home readers, it just seems like this microphone's really high. And it just doesn't have any buttons on it, so I don't know. Anyway, one of the things about switching to home readers is those home readers took more ownership over the process of being part of our reading service than ever before. And was especially our capital dispatch guy is a guy named Stephen Glazier. And he is excited to go harvest and produce his 1 hour. He loves watching the dispatch articles come through, but he curates and puts together his hour, and he has more ownership of it. He's super proud of it. I mean, it's kind of like news going by, and he grabs it. Like you're saying, there's no deadline, but it's just another way that we can engage our volunteers even more deeply. Opinions and editorials. Here in Des Moines, the Des Moines Register stopped doing them except for Mondays and Thursdays. Sundays and Thursdays. No opinions. Our listeners know they're going to get birthdays at 10. Their opinion page starts at 10:30. Since 1989, opinions at 10:30. And the opinions are the thing that most of the people subscribe to the paper for. Is the stuff that makes us human and have conversations and we can take sides. Used to have something called Your Two Cents Worth, and you could just, and now I forget it's called Your Turn, but you can bitch in one sentence about I don't like motorcycles or whatever, but it's that public forum that is a part of the newspaper DNA. And now the Register's only doing it on Sundays and Thursdays. Again, with my board, we have a lot to talk about on how we want to structure this thing. Guess what? Kathy Obradovich used to be the opinion reporter, or the political reporter, and have opinions on other things as well. She's pumping out opinions again, just over on a different publication. So not only the basic states newsroom stuff you guys are doing, or capitals and courts and stuff, but the opinions are so important, and you guys are doing those too.
Our mission, is a little bit, we do nonpartisan news coverage, at least for the most part, and in Iowa we are trying very hard to be nonpartisan because we're a very red state. The commentary, I just tell you, just leans progressive at all of our outlets. So just so you know, But all of our editors write opinion, and so we wear those two hats. We also all publish opinion from other sources, other sites. We have some freelance writers, including some former Des Register opinion writers, and others who, so we do, and as you're sitting, as you were talking, I was thinking, we should focus on making sure that we have a commentary running on not Thursday. We don't usually have it on Thursday anyway because it's usually a big news day. I usually I use it a lot on the weekend, and most of the time you can read that anytime. There is from News from the States also a commentary newsletter that goes out that just gives you the best commentary, links to the best commentary from around the network. I think that comes out on Sundays.
I don't know how to run this microphone. Kathy, also, most of the things that these commentaries are on, at least never in my life have we had so many giant, massive, worldwide news stories, threatening us all, whether it be guns, or the pandemic, or Ukraine, or whatever it might be. They're always on the big issues, which means they're always relevant, and generally a little bit timeless. Reactions to Uvalde, I think, will be fresh for a very long time. But it's not like, they're opening up that store at the end of my block, and I hate them for doing that. It's not like that. It's good, broad scope opinions that are fresh and relevant for almost always.
Yeah, I like to write about what's going on in Iowa as opposed to, being another voice on all the big national issues. There's a lot of overlap, obviously. When the nation's conversation turns to gun control, that's also going to be a big part of the conversation here in Iowa. And, lots of things to write about how that affects people here, what they're trying to do and what they want to say about it. And, when in the middle of this conversation we have, a shooting in Ames, which is my hometown, 40 miles north of here, three people killed right out in front of the church. And so that kind of thing brings it home. So, anybody else?
Looks like one more.
Okay.
Amy?
I wanted to add to the show that we created for the OCJ, Ohio Capital Journal, 1 hour every week. The volunteer is going to send it to me by noon on Wednesday, so he's going to scoop up, he said, all the articles from the previous 7 days, and including commentary, so he will give the article the title, the headline, the reporter's name, and the day it was posted, reads the article. If it's a commentary, he gives the title and the commentary, he says, this is a commentary. And if the person is identified as the editor, he'll say, this is the editor, and read it. And then at the end, he says, that was a commentary by. It's the only time we give the person's name twice is when it's an opinion piece. We also do that for the Dispatch, by the way. But that way, so the listener is absolutely clear when they're hearing news and then when they're hearing an opinion. So that's how I structured it. It's going to be 57 minutes every week. And that's encouraging what you said about adding a second hour. I'll look for that with the OCJ to see if that's coming. If my volunteer who's doing it once a week tells me, hey, there's plenty of material, we can create a second hour. That's good. Content is good.
I just wanted to bring up what you had said about, citing your sources and kind of the credibility issue. We started participating last year, and I think we're the first actual newswire to do this, in a thing called the Trust Project. And I don't know if you all are familiar, but I wanted to kind of brag about it a little bit, but also just as you're looking for other news sources, plug the Trust Project. This is something that's been around for a few years, but basically what they do is they do a real audit of all your content and implement best practices within your website, and then they're working with the Facebooks and the Googles and the other tech platforms to put metadata into the sites that are members so that they show up as trusted news sources on the internet. And so just in general, I would encourage y'all to be looking for those trust indicators online as you're getting news sources. You just jogged my memory that was something I wanted to mention.
Just as you mentioned commentary, I just want to mention a site not affiliated at all with States Newsroom, but that we like for commentary. It's called The Conversation, and it's just theconversation.com. It's all pieces written by academics. So, you know, they may be, you know, they may have a partisan, you know, or a philosophical slant. But they're going to be based in fact, and there are all kinds of topics. All of them are open source, which means you can they're in the public domain. You can publish any of them, and again, good contact on the site. You can just let them know you're going to be reading their content on the air. But we pick up commentary from there all the time because we know it's going to be well sourced. Informed opinion.
And that's so refreshing. Yes. Well sourced and informed.
Yes.
How was this session for you guys? Girl. Thank you, Bob. One thing I will ask of you, besides accept my never-ending gratitude, is we're going to put together a page on our IIIS site that has all these resources. I'll be hitting you in a couple days after I've had a long nap about. Would you hit me with those websites again that you recommended or where we're supposed to go for what you are going to provide for us? But I think this was really eye-opening for everybody. It feels the darkness that we heard yesterday about mainstream media. And then here come the Jedi Masters, you know, bringing the Force back to life is pretty cool. So would you draw a couple more names for prizes? And accept our thanks once again. Well, thanks, you guys. This was this might have been one of the sessions I was most excited about because I've known the secret of Kathy, a year and a half now. And we've been using their stuff. And we also don't put it as a site publication on our podcast page. It is right there on our main news page. And it gets a lot of hits. Lots of people. If you want to go to our website, you can listen to us read the Capital Dispatch. So. Thank you guys so incredibly much.
Appreciate it.
Josh drove down here from St. Paul just to be with you today. And